Okay, so welcome to a little chat. Getting into a weekly routine of doing this now, which is nice. It's, I think, June the 15th today. And just trudging up the hill with Lottie. And it is, I have to say, quite a sort of perfect day, really. The sun is out, but it's not too hot yet. So it's kind of late morning and very still. And I think there's a little thin layer of haze, that's a hazy cloud that's just taking the heat off a bit, maybe. So, yeah, we can stride up the hill without getting too toasty. So, yeah, what was I going to talk about? Not huge developments, I don't think, at this stage. Still working away at the next novel. Still haven't got a title for it yet. And it's kind of going in fits and starts a bit, really. It's getting there, but it's some bits I've just found slow. And I've got a bit of a butterfly mind that will insist on going off after all kinds of other things. So it doesn't take much to get me distracted, which is a bit vexing. And yeah, so that's okay. I think that's just kind of where I am, and I just kind of got to go with it and try and get back to it as much as possible. You know, and try and spend the time well. I was watching and listening to a YouTube clip the other day, which is worth just mentioning, because there's a thing on YouTube called An Evening with Ray Bradbury. And whether you like Ray Bradbury's stories or not, it's really, really worth a little watch, because he comes across as a very authentic kind of guy who's very much walked the walk and not just talk the talk. And something going by in the lane on the other side of the hedge. Yeah, it's, I think whether you're interested in writing or not, it's kind of just interesting to hear a talk from somebody like that. But for me, it has, there's so much resonates in what he says. So much of it that it kind of makes me cross sometimes that I didn't crack on with this business that I always knew I wanted to do. Kind of one of those people who from a very early age wanted not just to hear stories or read stories, but have a go at writing them, even though I had no idea how to do it. You know, so I'd get an exercise book or something and start trying to write stories, which would just be versions of, you know, something else probably. And poems as well. I used to like writing poems, and they have the benefit of being quite short, so I used to finish those. And my favourite task at school was always when the teachers would say, okay, we're going to write a story, and the rest of the class would be groaning, and I'd be, you know, practically punching the air, although I don't think people punched the air in those days particularly, just smiling probably politely and getting on with it. And it was always my favourite kind of homework as well, if I got to do something a bit more creative. Very happily settle down and do that. The time would fly by. But whereas Ray Bradbury seems to have been quite single-minded about it, well, he's stumbled into some things. He's gracious enough to say he's had lots of good luck and help along the way. But, you know, he does seem to have had this idea that he knew what he wanted, whereas I had all that going on. But I also had other things I was interested in. I was kind of really interested in science. I was one of those kids who also, you know, liked to do little experiments and get books out of the library and look at bugs under magnifying glasses and, you know, build electronics kits and all that kind of stuff, chemistry sets. So kind of all these other things going, and that is kind of what I pursued at first. I did try to go off and study science, but it didn't really work out, to put it mildly. So anyway, a varied life is an interesting one, isn't it? But, you know, I'm here now, and fully intending to stay and digging my heels into this particular rut. So, yeah. Give it a shot. But really, really worth a little watch if you're interested. And if you sort of read any of his stories, like, say, The Illustrated Man or something, when you were a teenager, perhaps, worth just looking at for that perspective, you know, see what sort of things he says. Anyway, I don't know if I've had any other sort of mad ideas. I can't remember what I said in my last chat, that the e-book was about to be done or has been done, but it's certainly for Death at Blackingstone Rock. Sorry, yeah, that is now available as a little ebook. So I spent a bit of time on that, took a bit of time out of writing just to make it. And as I thought I'd do, I put it just on my own little store, on my Payhip store. And it's, I think I've put a couple of dollars as a price on it, which I'm going to donate all the proceeds to the Dartmoor Mountain Rescue Group, my nearest one, which is the Ashburton team. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be glad of that, because they are a charity and they do rely on donations, and they have volunteers who put themselves in danger to help those who need it, which is incredible stuff. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. And by the proceeds, I mean everything that, you know, by the money that lands with me will all go over to them. I'll sort of total it up after a while and donate it to them. You can do it online. And yeah, I just thought it'd be a nice little thing, however much or little it brings. And the original email adventure is, as I said, it would be free and always will be. So you can still sign up for that if you haven't tried it yet. If you're on this site listening to this, it means you're a member. Yeah. Although in future, I may put this out onto the podcast players as well. So if you want to keep up with my chats in a different way, in a way that suits you, the audio files for these chats are actually already on my podcast host, because I have a podcast which has been dormant for ages about writing, which I must get up and running again. I'd really like to do that. Can I help other people out a bit on their writing adventures? And yeah, since it's already on in a sort of podcast format, it'd be quite easy for me to put it up on all the other players and platforms. So wherever you listen to podcasts, you should be able to find it, even on smart speakers and things, which we're all increasingly getting used to, aren't we? I have a little sort of portable radio that's been in various places around the house. It was in the kitchen the other day, and wanted to turn it off, and I found myself very tempted to speak to it, and then remembering that I had to go and walk over and actually do something so stone age as turn the knob to switch it off. But progress, eh? When everything talks to us, it's probably going to be a cacophony of noise, isn't it? All our devices talking to us and answering back. Yeah, our fridge will tell us what we're going to have for dinner, and that we're running out of something or other. But I digress. So, yeah. The only extra little idea I had, which is sort of a fledgling idea, is to do with Death at Blackingstone Rock. And that is, I thought it might be quite fun just to do as a little audio book and just do that myself. I mean, that wouldn't be a... I think it would be worth paying a narrator to do just a short little project. And again, I don't think that would be for sale. It would just be an extra. Yeah, unless I do put it on my store and ask for a donation, I don't know. But I haven't even started it yet, so we'll see. Once I get stuck into the writing of this novel a bit more, it's harder to fit everything in. But we must try. I'm still looking at some of my older titles that really need a bit more visibility than they used to have. And they need better sort of covers and things and putting together. And not everything I've done is on all the stores yet. It's just an extra little bit of work that has to all be done right. And some of them, to be honest, could possibly do with another proofread, which I think I mentioned last week. But I'll get all that organised. It's just finding time to do it all, really. I'll be posting some pictures on the site as well very soon. There's some photos I took at the weekend, which I think will come out quite nicely. And they are of Kennick, which is a reservoir not far away. And in Mystery in May, Dan and Alan go fishing. I don't know any spoilers, but they do go up to the lake. Little sort of Easter egg for you. There is a slight homage from me there to Conan Doyle, because Holmes and Watson do actually go fishing. Now, I'm standing out in a field, so I can't check, but I think it might be Silver Blaze, the one about the racehorse. I have a feeling that's the story. That they, as a cover, undercover, they go fishing. And of course, being a guy full of relentless energy, a bit like Dan, it doesn't really suit Holmes. It doesn't really suit Dan either. If you've read the story, you'll find out. But I went up there the other day and had a little go myself. I used to go fishing years ago, and I just sort of, it was a nice day, dusted off my stuff and got all the necessary licenses and permits and whatnot and went up. And of course, suffered all the frustrations of being out of practice that Dan suffered when he was trying to do it, because it is a tricky business. Noisy helicopter somewhere, can't see it. The sound, oh there it is. Just an ordinary one. We had a bit of excitement recently, because we live in a low population area, we get quite a few planes. I think they go up and down the valley for some reason of their own, practicing things. We get these big transport aircraft sometimes. But with the G7 summit over in Cornwall, we had some rather interesting little things come over, and looking it up, I believe they were to do with Joe Biden, their American Ospreys. With three of them, and I saw them on Saturday and Sunday. In fact, I saw them while I was fishing. Sort of funny little planes that have enormous, well, they look like enormous propellers, but they can be tilted around so it can do vertical takeoff and landing. So you see these planes with these enormous propellers, and then the propellers can be tilted up to become rotors above. So they're very interesting little things. Never seen them before. I think they are in this country, but they are US Air Force, and then they were, I believe, they're based at a US Air Force base somewhere in the UK, and then they were shuttling around something to do with the G7. So that was fun. But when you see strange things flying in the sky, you kind of wonder what they are. Oh wow, I'm just pausing because I noticed the elderflower has suddenly come out. Picking elderflower to to make things was one of the inspirations of Mystery in May, although it turned out not to be quite right for Elderflower, as you can see, because we're part way through June and it's coming out now. So it became became Blackthorn, which does come out early and then followed by the Hawthorn. But I had to check all these things, I would have upset everybody. Yeah, I once tried to, I think it might have been last year, collect some elderflower and make one of those cordials that you can dilute and so you can have a nice refreshing cold drink. But I didn't realise they were totally full of little bugs, although bugs hatched out perhaps after I'd picked it. And yeah, so that didn't come to anything. I had to go on the compost heap, put them all in a bag and left them for a bit too long. I put them in the fridge and I opened the bag. There's all these crawling little black flies. So I think you've got to do something to get the bugs out. Okay. So, yeah, I'm just about running out of field, nearly down at the bottom. And for the second time. And that's kind of about it for today. So there'll be some nice photos. Did I finish telling you that the photos about Kennick? I don't think if I did. So there'll be photos showing the nice rhododendron bushes, which are out in bloom at the moment. And rhododendron bushes also mentioned in one of the others. Which one is it? In one of the other Devonshire mysteries. You can probably remember it's a study in stone. Just as the reference in that. I don't want to say anything in case people haven't read it. But yeah. It's a beautiful reservoir. Quite a natural type of lake. There are three lakes together. And one is only for anglers. And that's called Kennick. It's a trout fishery. And yeah. I couldn't take pictures of it before very well because, you know, I wasn't fishing, so I took the opportunity while I was there to take some snaps for you. And, yeah, as I say, I'm running out of field, and before I go marching down the lane with people thinking I'm a bit mad talking to this thing with a black furry thing sticking out the top, just my wind muffler is a large and sort of fuzzy black thing. Which I always think from a distance it must look like I have an extraordinary moustache. Anyway, I'll sign off. So thank you very much for listening and all your support and encouragement. And a special thanks to everyone who has been over to the coffee site and tipped me a cup of tea or two or three. And some people have been very generous indeed, which, you know, is quite humbling and really appreciated. And it all goes towards, you know, upkeep, software for things that I need, writing and formatting, all those kinds of things, hosting the website, and paying professionals like cover designers and editors and proofreads and so on. So thank you very, very much for all that. It's a great help. And it's kind of a nice vote of thanks as well, a sort of vote of confidence, so I do really appreciate it. And it's just, I'm in the lane now, it's sort of a little outlet going down a drain there. I wasn't going by a huge waterfall, it just sounds louder than it is. Must be a spring somewhere because that feeds the water for our village. It has its own little reservoir, which is kind of very much like a concrete pond, a bit deeper but not very big. And of course part of the inspiration for events happening in Valley of Lies. So all these things tie in. I think stories work best when they've got little elements of truth and things are sort of grounded in some kind of reality, however it may be altered, you know, or made a bit more a bit more fascinating to the reader perhaps than it is in reality. There's still some kind of grounding of things. Yeah, so thank you very much, and I will stop there. Bye.